Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call of OCCL Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer: this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akshat Goenka, Joint Managing Director of OCCL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome. Joining me today are Mr. Anurag Jain, our CFO, along with our investor relations advisor, SGA. We've already shared our financial results and investor presentation for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025 on the stock exchanges and our company website, and we hope you have had the opportunity to review them. The broader macro environment has also been supportive. Calendar year 2025 witnessed strong growth in automobile sales driven by multiple positive factors such as reduction of GST, income tax reductions, and a more accommodative monetary policy. India's economic performance has remained resilient despite global headwinds, and these developments have led to higher vehicle production and improved capacity utilization across the tire industry. A large share of our exports is directed towards Europe, where relations remain stable and constructive. Additionally, the reduction in U.S. tariffs from 50% to 18% is expected to aid contribution over time, which will help improve our margins. On the domestic front, following the imposition of anti-dumping duties on imports from Japan and China, combined with the strong performance of the Indian automobile industry, the operating environment has become increasingly favorable. This positions the company well to pursue its strategic objective of growing domestic market share and increasing it over time. Though all-time high prices of sulfur are affecting our margins, we expect either the sulfur prices to come down or our competition and us to pass on these increasing raw material prices to our customers. The Indian tire industry is expected to grow by 7 to 8% in FY26. This outlook has been further strengthened by recent budget announcements, particularly the increase in government capital expenditure. To conclude, supported by a strong financial foundation, operational agility, and long-standing customer relationships, we remain confident in our ability to emerge stronger as market conditions stabilize, with signs of recovery already visible in the domestic market. Now I'll hand the line over to Mr. Anurag Jain.
Thank you, Akshat. I will now take you all through the financials of the company. The highlights of Q3 FY26 are as follows. Total income for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 114.6 crores as compared to rupees 96.5 crores in Q3 FY25, a growth of 19% year-on-year. EBITDA for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 20.2 crores as compared to rupees 16 crores in Q3 FY25, a great growth of 25% year-on-year. EBITDA margins stood at 17.6%. Profit after tax for Q3 FY26 stood at rupees 6.5 crores as compared to rupees 5.2 crores in Q3 FY25. PAT margins stood at 5.7%. Now let me highlight the performance for the 9 months ended FY26. As the company had accounted for the demerger of the chemical business of AG Ventures Limited, formerly known as Oriental Carbon and Chemicals Limited, into the company with effect from the appointed date of 1st July 2024, the 9-month results for FY26 are not comparable with the corresponding 9-month period of the previous year, as the company did not have operations till the 1st of July 2024. Total income for 9 months of 2026 stood at rupees 358.7 crores. EBITDA for 9 months FY26 stood at rupees 67.1 crores. EBITDA margins stood at 18.7 crores. Profit after tax stood at rupees 28.4 crores, while PAT margins were 7.9%. We can now go to question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Sir, when we look at the sulfur prices from August 2025 till date, so definitely the prices have doubled like in this period of time. Just sir, want to know how are we passing on this cost and what? And I believe, sir, I have read some reports wherein they are mentioning like for the complete this calendar year also prices might remain at an elevated level. So now what is the strategy, because sulfur prices isn't seem to come down. Any outlook, sir, like now how will the company strategy will change, or the contracts can be renegotiated at higher prices, because already the demand is weak. So how much the customers can absorb this sort of higher cost?
You are right. The average price for Q3, that is July to September, was about 29 rupees. Current price is about 52 rupees. So there has been a substantial increase in sulfur prices. The only way we can pass it on, we have been able to pass some of it on in the domestic market, not in the international market. The only way we can pass it on is if the competition also increases the price. We think that looking at the sulfur price increase as temporary, the competition might have not increased the prices as yet, but now since it has been rather in a long period of price increase, we feel that it will be difficult for even the competition to absorb the price, and they are bound to increase prices, which should help us. Secondly, obviously, wherever our pricing are formula based, there the pricing will follow the formula and we will get the increase or decrease as applicable. However, in sulfuric acid, we have been able to pass on the increase because sulfuric acid is always sold based on the sulfur prices.
Got it, sir. So my second question is there any change in outlook in exports market, because we were targeting earlier the North American market, and you had highlighted earlier that there has been some competition issues. It now like India stands at an advantage compared to global peers. So is there any sort of increase in volumes we can see in US market and the Europe market, like any sort of change in strategy or any sort of higher volumes, like which can take our material utilization to higher levels, because our utilization still remains underutilized only. Any thoughts on that?
When the American tariff was increased, we had to give deep discounts to maintain our supply to America, which affected our margins. But since the back tariffs have been rolled back significantly, so will our discounts be rolled back. Even though our tariffs are at advantage vis-a-vis China, but in America, most of the supply of insoluble sulfur is local from American plants. So it does not depend on tariffs. Our strategy vis-a-vis export market continues as before, but it was suspended because of the tariff. Now that the tariffs have been rolled back, we are looking at the export market with renewed vigor, but as always, it will take some time.
But so during the quarter, if you can like give some quantitative idea, like how much volumes we could have lost and how much discounting we could have taken, potentially hitting EBITDA and top line, any sort of a quantitative number.
So see, when the tariffs have gone from 0 to 50%, so you can very well imagine to maintain the same price, we have had to give discounts in the American market in the range of 25%.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. During the quarter, other expenses also some materially they look lower when you compare on YoY, but top line has definitely increased. It seems there is a one-off in that. And sir, second continuation question, sir, considering that today's financial position, it seems like the complete anti-dumping duty benefit has been taken away. How are you seeing, going ahead? What are the volume levels?
Sorry, can you repeat the second part of your question? I didn't get you the second part of your question.
Sir, my question was, sir, considering the surge in these raw material prices of concern, the complete benefit of anti-dumping duty has been taken away. We are back to original margins and all. So how you see volumes and margins playing out in the near term?
To answer your first question, in September 30, there was a one-time expenditure on account of duty and also on account of duty pursuant to demerger, and also there is a sulfuric acid annual shutdown expenditure which is sitting. That is why it is seeming a bit higher last year. Sorry, in the preceding quarter, but it is the same as the same quarter last year. And coming to your second question, yes, you are absolutely right. The fact that the Chinese did not increase the price, even though the raw material prices have increased, have taken away the whole benefit of the anti-dumping duty. As far as the quantities are concerned, the way we look at it, the domestic market is sans the margin. That means that whatever the margins, our strategy of getting the domestic market share remains the same. So we are aggressively looking at increasing our share in the domestic market, and that strategy is going to get more focused in the coming year.
So the pressure on prices that will remain and competition will continue to remain intense, you mean to say?
The pressure on pricing is there. I mean, pressure on margin, let me put it this way. Because even though we got an anti-dumping and we were able to increase our prices, our margins did not increase. In fact, it came down a little bit because of the sulfur prices. Now, we are hoping that since high sulfur prices have sustained for more than 6 months, there is going to be an impact on the profitability of the competitors, and they are also going to increase the prices, or else the sulfur prices will itself come down.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to understand, how much would you estimate is the impact of these tariffs in the U.S. and now that they've been removed, what sort of an impact do we see in terms of EBITDA?
So, it's very difficult to give out figures like that because these tariffs actually happened midway through the year. So while we have our own internal calculations as to how much margins would have been hit had these tariffs kept going and how much, of course, they will recover by, but it will not be possible to give out numbers which will then correlate to the P&L. So, because,
But is it safe to assume that even as the existing prices of sulfur and the existing prices of our product, that we should see a reasonable amount of enhancement happening in Q4, given the tariffs have now gone away, at least a couple of hundred basis points in the terms of EBITDA margin?
So I'll allow Anurag to answer this, but I would like to make one clarification for everybody on this call. The tariffs have not gone away as yet.
Okay.
And we don't know which day the tariffs are going to go away. At least I'm not aware of it's not been notified.
It's not been notified,
it's not been notified. So we don't know which day it will be notified. It could happen
right now, anything you export is subject to the tariffs, is it still?
Yes, it's still subject to
tariffs. Okay, so I'm assuming it goes away, let's assume it goes.
No, no, last second, Anurag, abhi jo nikal raha hai, my understanding is it's still subject to 50% tariff.
वो हम एडजस्ट करेंगे उसको टैरिफ को जो निकल रहा है जो आज तक एक्सपोर्ट हो गया वो सब्जेक्ट 50% है.
नहीं अभी भी अगर आज भी कुछ एक्सपोर्ट जाएगा 50% लगेगा उस पे.
ओके
आई थिंक दिस इज अ ग्रे एरिया.
I'm saying let's like leave aside whether it's applicable for now or after a notification which hopefully should come, but what is this sort of, do we expect a reasonable uptake or is it like a marginal uptake that we expect?
No, so as far as the sales in America is concerned, I have already said that we have had to give 25% up in the range of 25% discounts.
And right now, how much is the approximate revenue from America?
So that is something we cannot disclose. But yes, in
well,
whatever...
No, but I'm saying roughly in terms of, are we talking about like 15-20% of revenues? Are we talking about like 30% of revenues? Or is it an inconsequential? How do we get some sense?
So, I mean, look, the revenue... See, the problem is that the revenue that we have is an amalgam of sulfuric acid as well as of insoluble sulfur. And this keeps, the percentage keeps on changing depending on the price of sulfuric acid. So for me to say that this is so much percentage of the revenue is not something which will be correct. Because that percentage can keep on changing even if that tonnage of insoluble sulfur remains depending on the sulfuric acid price.
But what we can say is that our estimated calculations on the bottom line are not insignificant.
That's okay.
I mean,
if
this tariff continues long term, then it would have had a decent impact on the bottom line.
Yes.
Right. But right now, you're saying if stuff like normalizes, there should be a reasonable impact on the bottom line once the tariffs go away.
Yeah, but you have to see that had it not gone away, there would have been, because the tariffs remained in place from August till Feb, right? If that gets...
No. Chief. I'm saying whether it goes away in Jan end or end Feb or end March,
What I'm saying is in the current year, the impact of tariff is only from August and not for the first form.
Again, sir, I'm not talking about the entire year at all. I am talking about we've seen what the like numbers are in Q3, right? Assuming in Q3 there was no lead tariffs, we would be at a reasonably higher EBITDA number.
Yes, that is right.
Okay. So the other question is it part of the reason why we're unable to pass on the higher RM prices, because there's also a little bit of a supply glut where the supply is higher than the demand?
Yes,
that is
true.
So do we, how long before that it normalizes? And then I'm saying that if there's always a bit of a supply glut and people have already put up incremental capacity, and so you would then want to sort of run utilization as high as you can, even if you have to take a hit in terms of margins, right? Given you've already had that capacity. So could this lead to a multi-year sort of compression and lower, margins?
See, the current capacity utilization levels around the world are between 70% to 75% as per our reckoning. And if we are looking at, say, 2.5% to around 2 to 3% growth globally in the demand of insoluble sulfur, and if we think that 85% capacity utilization is a healthy capacity utilization, so we can do the math as to see how maybe 4-5 years of this.
Got it. So until then,
Though the Indian market is growing at a much faster pace, so that is a different story. Yeah, please continue. Ask.
Got it. And so, with regards to India, what we are seeing, if I hear you, is that the benefits of the ADD. Effectively, the Chinese are taking the hit in terms of prices just to get the volumes going.
Yeah, so basically I would say that the ADD impact has kept our margins intact in spite of insoluble in spite of sulfur prices going up.
Okay. Okay.
So our contribution has not improved, but at least it has remained stable. Had ADD not been there, then our contribution would have been really badly hit.
Got it.
Sorry, Mr. Gandhi.
Okay, this is the last question I have. If that's okay, or I can rejoin the queue.
You can.
Okay, I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hello. Can you share what is the current realization in the domestic market in India compared to pre-ADD situation? What I understand is that before the ADD was implemented, prices in India were below $900 per metric ton. So how is the current prices in the domestic market?
See, the ADD that was imposed was in the tune of about $300, right? $300 odd. And therefore, the impact is not exactly $300 because the material is coming from Malaysia, Japan, and China. But at an average, we were able to get increase in selling price in terms of rupees, say around 200 plus minus dollars from that time.
Okay. And even with this $200, we are only able to sort of mitigate the impact of sulfur price increase, is what you are saying.
Till now, we have been able to mitigate, but if it remains this, obviously my contribution is going to be a little bit lower. But yes, as Akshat has pointed out, that till now we have been able to mitigate the price, because that is the increase. The impact of increase is about 22 rupees. Till now, it might go up to 25 rupees.
Okay. And sir, in January and very recently, has there been any price increases? Because I was reading that in the domestic market, some players have taken a price hike to pass on sulfur price increase. Is that the case, or that is not so?
No, which players have taken the, do you mean insoluble sulfur or some other people?
Well, insoluble sulfur, sir.
Taken hike to pass on the sulfur prices. We have been in touch with the domestic market player with our customers in domestic market. We have been able to get some increases with some tire companies, but it is not consistent throughout. But we have been able to get some increase, but not to cover the whole price increase.
Okay.
Because our capability to get increase is marred by the import prices.
Yes, that and the import prices have not seen any recent improvement.
We hope to see it in the future, but till December, there was no significant improvement in the import prices.
Okay. And sir, have you seen any market share improvement in the domestic market with the help of ADD, or the import volumes are still at same level?
See, it is very difficult to talk about market share on a short-term basis. We will be able to tell you more about market share, say, in the month after the 6 months of the current year are completed. Only then I think we'll be in a position to tell you that how our market share has moved. For a short-term basis, it depends on many things, such as imports coming more in 1 month and then less in the other, and the consumption is not entirely linear. So it's very difficult for me to comment on the market share. Even if my sales are growing, then it could still not be a result of increase in market share, because the demand may be growing. So please allow us time till June, and we will come back and tell you whether we are seeing the market share increase.
And sir, in the previous call, we had mentioned that we are witnessing imports from Malaysia rising. So is that still the case? And a follow-up is that we were also trying to take it up with the government. So any updates on that?
Okay. Malaysia is also continues to play aggressively in the Indian market, and their prices are also affected by the Chinese prices. We had planned to go against Malaysia, and we are under consultation with our lawyers for the same, and let us see what gets place. The second thing,
and sir,
please
go on, sir. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Please go on.
No, sir, you were mentioning something. We'd be happy to listen.
No, it's okay. Please go ahead.
Sir, and did we face any tariff when exporting to EU? And with this change deal, will that go away?
No, the tariff to EU is marginal and it is within the limit which is revised. So I don't think there is going to be any change in the tariff in EU. In EU it's anyway marginal and it is not going to impact with the new tariff policy.
Yeah. And the last question from my side is, of course, you mentioned that you took some hit of 25% discount from exports to US. But were we able to maintain the sales volume to US in the current quarter, or did we suffer some decline in exports volume to US?
So on a long-term basis, we have been able to maintain. But in a short-term basis, when the duty was transitioning, for 1 or 2 months, our supplies went down. So that is the hit we took for those 1 or 2 months. But then once the rates were renegotiated, they started again at the previous level.
So there were some volume impact or maybe also in Q3?
Yes, there could be a marginal volume impact for that in Q3. Yes, you are right.
Okay. I'm sure is exports still more profitable compared to domestic sales for us? I think that was the case in FY25.
Yes.
Okay. It still continues to be more profitable.
Yeah, if you look at it to the overall the average, we still make more margins on exports.
Yes, sir. I'll get that in the sense. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So, Anurag, can you quantify that out of the 20 crore EBITDA in this quarter, how much was the contribution from sulfuric acid?
It is significant. Sulfuric acid has done well, so the contribution is significant. I will not be able to give you the exact number, but it is better than what it has been previously.
But on a steady state basis, out of our whatever EBITDA we do annually, what on an average sulfuric acid contributes what percentage?
No, it's not a fixed percentage, right? It changes because sulfuric acid is a very seasonal.
Okay, fine.
It's a very seasonal product, right? So it might be a negative 1 month in one quarter and then very bumper in the next quarter. Or on an annual basis, yes, this year sulfuric acid has been good, so the contribution is very good. But there is no guarantee that it will sustain even for Q4 itself.
Right. Now, recently in this budget, the government reduced the taxation on share buyback and for corporate promoters, whether shareholding is in corporate entities or promoters, it is 22% tax. So, and please tell us the net debt of the company and any plans to do a share buyback, because earlier, 2 years back, we were waiting for the demerger to happen, and now that all of that has happened, so any update over there?
No, there are currently no plans for share buyback as of now.
Right. Okay, and what's the import duty right now on our exports to Europe, which will become zero once the free trade agreement comes into play?
No, I did not say that it will become zero. I said it is very marginal because it depends on the HSN codes and everything, but it is marginal. If I remember correctly, it's around 2.5% or less like that.
Okay, the import duty on Europe on our product.
Yes, on our product. Yes, yes.
Okay, okay.
Sir, just one question, sir. Would our EBITDA would be higher by 7 to 8 crore had we gotten the $200 realization benefit for this quarter from the anti-dumping duty for the domestic market?
Sorry, I did not get your question.
Sir, I'm trying to understand that we would have gotten the $200 realization benefit from the anti-dumping duty, which was offset by increase in the sulfur prices. So, just doing a back
dollars, I said in that range. Yeah, so it's that's right.
$200 per metric ton.
No, we sell in rupees in domestic market, right? So what I'm saying is that we have not been able to get the full 306 equivalent somewhere between, you know, in that area that is there. Yeah.
Right. Sir, so so if I look it on a per metric ton basis, the $200 realization that would have ideally been majority of that would have been flowed to our bottom line. So that 7 to 8 crore, our EBITDA would be higher. That's what I'm trying to understand. Just doing a back of the envelope calculation.
See, the impact, annual impact of the duty that we had estimated earlier was in the range of 12 to 14 crores or 11 to 14 crores per annum. And this has been now negated by the by the increase in the sulfur prices.
Got it.
So wanted to understand that what's the current price of insoluble sulfur? You had mentioned that it had fallen from $2,000 ton to $850 ton. So has it reduced further, or is it stable, or has
it has not reduced further.
Okay, so it remains the same.
Prices have reduced. What we are saying is they have not increased.
Okay, so it's stable at $850 ton.
So let me correct this assumption. The prices range from $850 to $1,150. What I said was it has come down to that level also.
Okay, so there has
so
not,
it is
been
not
been
one
any
price. It is not one price at which it comes, right? There is a variation.
Okay. So basically, in the past few quarters, the insoluble sulfur prices internationally have not gone down. They are range bound.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. But now if we see the rupee has fallen significantly, so anyway, $350 anti-dumping duty on top of that rupee depreciation, which is making imports more expensive. So, I mean, adding both these factors together, don't you think there should be a significant tailwind on our EBITDA?
Yes, there should have been a tailwind. It has been eaten away by the raw material prices, which are again impacted by the rupee depreciation as well.
And lastly, what's the net debt on the company?
The long-term debt as of now is 22.75 crores. Other than that, we have the CC, which working capital, which of course keeps going up and down.
Okay, but it would be in the range of like any ballpark?
Range of between 30 and 40 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Piyush Bangar from Vijit Global Services Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I have two questions. The first one is, what is the production volumes in the Q3 FY26, and how do we expect this for the next quarter?
See, the volumes have been stable. We have either increased the volume, and the next quarter also we are not looking at any significant increase in volumes.
And the capacity utilization for the current quarter, if you could mention.
Just give me one moment. So the capacity utilization is around 70%.
70%. And do we expect the same capacity utilization for the FY27?
FY27, we do expect some increase, obviously, but it's very difficult to say just now how much, because the things will crystallize more in the month of May, June.
Fair enough. Just a second question is that, in the current sulfur prices and the both the trade deals, the US trade deal and the EU trade deal, as an impact as it seems, so what is the steady state of EBITDA margin range management believes is sustainable through the cycle for the quarter F, Q4 and FY27?
Again, a very difficult question, you know, because all, as far as EU trade deal is concerned, that should not have any impact on the trade, on our margins. That is margin neutral, because we all, there is not much impact either on the access to the market or on the tariffs. So that is neutral for us. As far as the trade deal with US is concerned, as we have pointed out, that we will reduce the discounts significantly from the level that which we had to give them. As far as sulfur is concerned, we don't know where it will come down and when it will come down. So for me to say how much it will impact the EBITDA margins as of now will be a pure speculation and nothing more.
Okay, fair enough. Given the global oversupply, given the global oversupply and the weak pricing internationally, are we prioritizing on volume retention or margin protection in the exports market?
Obviously, our first priority will be to capture market share.
Fair enough. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Jain from Indra Security. Please go ahead. Mr. Jain, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with the question.
Can we go on to the next one, please?
Since there is no response from the participant, we'll take this as the last question for today in the interest of time. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I'd like to thank everyone for being part of this call. We hope we've answered your questions. If you need more information, please feel free to contact us or Mr. Devin Dhruva from SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of OCCL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.